Hey guys, Working Class Bowhunter Podcast once again. Myself, Kurt Geyer, and
Austin Chandler.
We're doing the intros for the ATA episodes. So the ATA episodes are usually a little bit shorter episodes like that. So, and we're probably going to use, we're going to rapid blast these. So if this is the first one in the batch you're listening to, or in the middle of the batch of ATA episodes, you know, we're using the same intro for all of them because they're kind of quick in your face episodes and, just, you know, certain products or stories or whatever it may be that we recorded on. But ATA was a good time this year. We had a ton of fun, get to see all our buddies. Doug rode the bull at PBR, had his make hunting great again moment. I mean, what else happened? There's a bunch of stuff going on. Some good meetings. We recorded a bunch of good podcasts.
I got to shake hands with some guys we'd never met before, got to maintain a bunch of existing relationships, and had a great time at ATA. Always look forward to that show.
It is a good time, man. And I always think, like, man, I don't know if we're going to do ATA this year. And then after we do it, I'm always glad.
It's always fun.
Always fun. Clint Casper came down. Our good buddy Todd Anderson came and hung out for a little bit. We just had a good time, man. Yeah. Positive vibes. Literally, I couldn't name one negative thing that happened if I had to. A lot of bums in Louisville.
That was the negative,
That's
I guess.
The negative.
Yeah, it was cold, but we got to eat some Krispy Kremes and ate some good barbecue one night. There's always good food down there.
Yeah, it was a good time all around. So if it's the same type of intro on all these ATA ones, we just figured that, you know, they're shorter episodes. We, you know, it gets the point across. And real quick, we just want to thank our partners. And we want to thank you guys for listening to our ads and supporting what we do and supporting our partners because they support us. And if they support us for as wild as we are sometimes, to me, I think that says they're pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Elite Archery, Big Tine, Scent Crusher, Old Barn Taxidermy, Camo Fire, Loophole Optics, HHA and HHA USA, Thermacy, Victory Arrows, Huntworth, Slick Trick, Spy Point Cams, Novix tree stands, and of course there's some more in there that are coming, or you know, that we're working with, and that'll be popping back up in the year. But yeah, man, we just appreciate all you guys and supporting what we do, and you know, anybody that came up and talked to us at ATA was very flattering and very, very weird for us, but we appreciate it, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So let's just get to these. We'll cut the BS. Hope you enjoy them. Hope you want to check out some of these products. And yeah, Rapid Fire Blast, the podcast. 3-shot burst. Hope you like it. All right, we're here knocking them out at the ATA show 2022
in Louisville,
depends where you're from.
Yeah,
can you only say Louisville if you're from the area? Because I feel like it's weird to say.
No, because every time you say Louisville and from someone that's here, they correct you every time.
I think he's right. We ought to go with Louisville.
It seems better.
You got to drag it.
Yeah. We're not going to say it right no matter what.
Try to fit in like real local.
You'll say it right after a couple beers.
Yeah. And then
can't say it.
Just drag it out longer.
Nobody
will correct you anyway at that point.
That's right.
So here doing a podcast in the Rubline Media Room. We have Nose Jammer in the house, Mr. John Redmond.
Yep.
Does it matter?
No.
Louisville?
Doesn't matter.
Louisville.
Tomato, tomato, you know.
Yeah. So I'm sure Chase drug you into doing this podcast with us, but we appreciate you taking the time out of the show to jump on with us.
Of course.
Nose Jammer is a product for us. We're not like scent guys. Like, we don't use urine scents and stuff like that, or cover scents usually. Mm-hmm. But it seems like with our podcast and our crew, Nose Jammer is the one product out of our realm from what we normally use that kind of, we use it. So like, we're familiar with the deodorant and the shampoos and stuff like that, and the wipes and all that. And I like it because I like the smell of it. And I think
I use it all year long just because I like the smell of it.
Yeah. And so from our point of view, I feel like if you just use regular like scent killer deodorant, I feel like I stink through it so fast that I feel like Nose Jammer just does a better job of like controlling how bad I smell.
Right.
So I don't know if that's good or bad from your perspective, but we do use it. So.
Good. No, you know what's interesting about the Nose Jammer in comparison to scent elimination, and you know, that's all we had for 30, 40 years. As I was growing up, a bow hunter, I mean, I was taking a shower, I had the baking soda in my boots, and mm-hmm. Miles Keller was the man when right. I was in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, so he had all these things you need to be doing. We were doing them and using urine and stuff like that. Critters would still get downwind. They'd still get you. And, you know, I'm not positive how much it was helping, but that's all we had. But, mm-hmm. no, what's interesting is you eliminate odor, let's say, with a scent-free deodorant. Mm-hmm. The only problem is you don't have anything to compensate for what you're about to create.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the problem with it. But plenty of effectiveness in some products, and I don't have anything bad to say about them because, yeah. man, I used this for so long.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you know what's interesting is, and I was religious, I would pack my stuff in like we all did, and I'd get up to the top of this hill and I'd be sweating.
Mm-hmm.
So all that work I did and got up early and all that, you know, it was kind of shot out the door a little bit, and then they'd get me anyway. So for a while there, and I was running an outfit in business, archery only, southeastern Minnesota, for a good amount of time there, I was just hunting dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But I had enough places to go where I would always have the wind.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that was pretty good because I'd go in with my shit on and I'd be sweating.
Yeah.
And I wasn't stressed out because I had sweat dripping down my face after, you know, maybe climbing a big hill or doing whatever. But
yeah, I was like, if you're out of shape like me, you just sweat, just walking in.
You get the beer sweats going in there, yeah. standing in the
water. We all got it. But I guess where I'm going is when I said, forget it, I'm hunting dirty, I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd get in the car with my gear on and everything. So, no, nose jammer has been an interesting thing, and running the outfitting business when I developed it was huge because I'd have five guys that came in, I'd give them a can, and then they'd go to the sets that I knew the wind was doing whatever,
mm-hmm.
that I'd set up already, and they'd come back and say, well, this is what happened.
Right.
So kind of bypassed the learning curve with that, you know, and got it dialed
yeah,
in
like your
quicker.
Own testers, yeah.
Yeah, had all these feedback. Guys testing on the spots I'd already set. You know,
right? Yeah.
So,
what made you go into this? Like, come up with the idea and like come in saying, "Hey, we would need to build like a deodorant or a cover scent or whatever."
Yeah, I guess just well, even to back up even further, yeah. Like, yeah. How did you think about like think of it? How does it actually work? Because I feel that's like the biggest question with a product like this or a nose jammer specifically is like everyone's always anything scent really.
Right.
There's always like the skeptics of like. How does that really work? Does it really work? And can you really use it like it says you can use it to where you don't have to worry about wind as much in certain areas or whatever it may be?
Yeah, yeah. No, how it originated is I was guiding a family friend when we were elk hunting in Colorado when we blew a setup on an elk,
mm-hmm.
which happens a lot. We're sitting back against these trees. And he says, man, when I was in Boy Scouts, I used to peel the bark. We'd peel the bark on these trees. They got a sweet smell to them. And I thought, oh, whatever, man. I mean, I've been in the woods a long time. Pine's a pine. I must know something.
Yeah.
But long of the short is I did smell that tree, and I thought, yeah, that's maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's maple syrup in these trees. I don't know if they tap them. I don't know much about that.
yeah.
But that's what I'm smelling.
Right.
And 20 years earlier in the hair care business, I had an idea for a deodorant stick. You'd rub it on trees around your setup. Deer would get near it. They wouldn't be able to smell.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know what I'd start with.
Right.
Ingredients was. I mean, I had the idea, but nothing to go into it. So those ideas kind of merged right there when I smelled something coming out of that tree. And it didn't take any time to get on the internet and find out that trees, shrubs, and grasses are emitting aromatic compounds. They emit aromatic compounds from high to low. You've got... All vegetation's emitting aromatic compounds, but some do it at a level that you and I could smell it. Flowers, for instance, standing sure. vegetation, and what you're smelling on a flower is aromatic compounds being given off.
Mm-hmm.
And why they do that is it's an insect defense. So they give that off to keep insects and stuff away from them.
Right.
From wrecking their program. But it came together fast, and then I had people around me that were shooting ideas to me, you know? So I had the idea of utilizing stuff that was coming out of standing vegetation, but it was everybody around me with great ideas. I had the can. It was a certain color. The one kid says, hey, blood red can.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy says, man, it's jamming their sense of smell. So I was listening, but that's really how it came about. And then, like I said, the outfitting, we'd get done elk hunting and go straight into whitey hunting. And then once we had the samples made, I'd hand them out to my guys, and they were telling me what would happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome to have the testers right there with the outfitting business
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
So, when it gets into like the olfactory blocking, what does that mean?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. So, you know, olfactory overload is what we're creating. So, you know, critters have hairs. We all do on their olfactory glands. And what happens is you can only process one airborne odor at a time. Mm-hmm. And then they have to reset. You know, so for instance, if you go into a pizza joint, when you open that door, you go, wow, I can almost taste it. Mm-hmm. After you've sat down and placed your order, it dulls up.
Right.
And that's your olfactory gland being overwhelmed. This product is a lot like if you've ever been to saltwater, you go to saltwater and go, man, saltwater has a smell to it. Mm-hmm. But the people that live right next to it don't smell it at all.
Right. It's like cedar in our studio.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Our studio that we have is all fresh cedar wood.
Yep.
Everybody that walks in is like, man, it smells like a birdhouse in here. And I don't smell it anymore.
There you go.
But it's like overwhelming.
Yeah, it's like a gerbil cage.
Yeah, so that's olfactory fatigue.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Just too much odor and I can't process anything else. And then that's the key is because what you end up doing with this product is you create such a cloud around you and in your hunting area. The wind swirls. That mm-hmm. critter sucks that smell in. And it occupies their sense of smell to the point of where they can't fight through that to get to you.
Right. Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. What, for guys, like I know this will get brought up if I don't ask it. What if they're like, what if the smell of the overwhelming odor of nose jammer, well, how does the animals typically react to that?
Good one. Good one. Glad you asked that. Well, the compounds are emitted by standing vegetation. They're exposed to them. It's the environment they live in. And so
Makes sense.
I did was isolated the most prolific compounds. So the compounds that are given off most across the standing vegetation.
Sure.
And they're conditioned to that. So when they get a nose full of it, it's non-alarming. Just like I said with the saltwater. So you go, man, saltwater's got a smell. The people that live next to it don't smell it at all. In essence, all we're doing is ramping up that smell of saltwater, hit them on the nose, can't smell another thing.
Gotcha.
But all they can do is smell that saltwater cloud.
Yeah. Okay, that
does
make sense.
Think about a cigarette, somebody blowing a cloud of smoke on you. You're not fighting through that to smell the cookies sitting over there. And that's basically all it is.
Interesting.
Right.
Okay.
It makes sense when you lay it out.
Yeah, that's an awesome way.
But to the non-alarming thing, it is non-alarming because all those compounds are spot on.
It's not a foreign threat.
No, absolutely not.
That's overwhelming them. It's more of natural odors that's
hidden. It's what they're used to.
Yeah.
You know,
okay,
it's what they're conditioned to of smelling every day anyways. It's just at higher concentrations.
Yeah. Right. So really the more you use, the better.
You can't overuse it.
You can't overuse it.
I've got these guys, man, they're like, hey, you don't have to. But there's like, dude, I sprayed a whole can. I killed this big buck.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And basically all that is keeping them from getting to you.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love the smell of it. And
so
I've used it. I did have a can that I sprayed on my e-bike just because I was worried about my e-bike like laying in the grass while I was up in the stand. But yeah, the deodorant and the wipes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Just I like the body wash the most.
Okay, so what you're doing there, when you use the deodorant, the wipes, and the body wash, you know, if you can get it on your clothes, if you can get it on your body, and then you spray it around your hunting area, it's just tougher for them to get in and find human odor then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the premise behind the personal care products.
I'm glad he said you can't use too much because this is totally my fault, but I had a can in my backpack one time.
Uh-oh.
And I'm walking, I can hear it. I'm like, what is that noise? And then something hit it. Whole can went off inside my backpack.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then I could just overwhelming smell on it. I'm like, God, is this too much?
Well, you were fine.
I was fine.
That's interesting. I think that's a – is there anything else on the market? Like, I mean, don't plug them, but, like, is it, like, a first-of-its-kind product in this industry?
Well, you know what? It was interesting. When we came in – everybody called bullshit on it.
Of course, right? Because
I get it.
Yeah,
I get it because, man, I had gone to just hunting dirty. I was like, not doing it. It would have taken one of my buddies to go, no, you have to use this. So I'm as big a skeptic as anybody, and we're all skeptics because it's serious. You know, right? You know, you're freezing your ass off. You want to kid a deer. You spend all this money, all this time, and, you know, it's important. And, No, I'm the biggest skeptic of all, so I forget where we were going right there. But
just when people are, you know, going to be a little bit hesitant to a product. Like, oh,
yeah, they're worried about it.
Is it the first time a product of its industry?
Yeah, yeah. So when we came in, it was interesting. We had a couple of guys take shots at us, you know, and copy packaging and try to do the name and different things like that. And the name and product was original enough and different enough to where it didn't do anything. And our dealers, you know, we have good customer service, so they weren't about to let something else come in. They're selling that already. I got one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm good. Yeah, yeah.
So, no, they called bullshit on it, and it was a double-edged sword. You know, that smell will freak you out. But it also had the bigger brands going, ah, that's bullshit.
Right.
We don't need to worry about that. Now, one thing that's interesting is when I launched it, I went to Cabela's first instead of going to the dealers. One strategy would bring it to the dealers first, and then it'll grow, bring it to the box stores. Instead, what I did was it brought it to the box stores and then brought it to the dealers. Well, that insulated us and kept, you know, from getting knocked off.
Yeah,
right.
So that was a good strategy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, there's no nose jammers on the market other than ours.
Yeah, I didn't think so, but I also don't pay as – we don't pay as close attention to a lot of products like that because we don't typically utilize them in our hunting strategies. But
man, I just like nose jammer, so she's that.
The smell of it alone just wins me over,
I always
to be honest,
say you guys need to come out with an air freshener for cars.
We get that email a lot.
Do you really?
The number one email we get is you ought to get one for a car.
Well, that makes sense, right? Because it's another layer in the system.
Yep. No, they dig it. You know, it was a double-edged sword because they called bullshit on it, but people really like the smell.
Mm-hmm.
And the wives are, you know, not pissed when you walk in.
There you go, yeah. That's
you don't
a good,
have
that's
to piss
one.
On your boots.
Yeah. You don't smell like an old sock.
Yeah.
So that helps, too.
That's right.
Well, I feel, you know, ozone, we're huge advocates of using ozone, scent crusher, love all our scent crusher stuff. The ozone smell we've talked is kind of like, you know when you're, like, certain smells bring you back to, like, your hunting memories when you were a kid? You know, for some people, it's like the earth-scented wafers.
Yep.
Like, I feel like for our kids, it's going to be like the smell of ozone.
And nose jammer.
And nose jammer in certain instances. But yeah. I had a question I was going to ask you, and it slipped. But the first time I ever remember seeing nose jammer was, I worked at Gander Mountain when I was in school, and I remember talking to a guy, just a customer, and I remember seeing, like, the little display box, and he was like, that stuff's the shit, man. Because I didn't even think anything of it at the time. I hadn't had any experience. I'm like, really, it works? He's like, yeah, it fucking works. So that was, I don't know how long ago now. Yeah, I mean, when Gander Mountain was open, I don't know,
2006,
13. No, not that long ago. So
10 years ago.
I don't know. How long have you guys been around?
This will be our 12th year on the show.
12th year. Congratulations.
Yeah. So it was probably 8 years ago, something like that.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it's just kind of cool. Like, you see a product and you're like, oh, I never, but you hear, all I've ever heard is good things. Like, and I don't feel, that's not typical for a, I don't know what category, I keep on saying scent related company, but it's not really.
Well, I mean, we're in the scent and scent eliminators, but, you know, it's jamming.
Yeah, it's a jamming. It's a
the jamming business.
But I mean, there's so many, even ozone. There's so many, like, skeptics on ozone, and there's guys that like using deer urine, guys that don't. Do you use deer urine with nose jammer or anything else?
Good one. I was hoping you were going to get to that. I quit using piss a long time ago because I just wasn't seeing enough results. And like I said, I used to run an outfitting business there in Houston, Minnesota, archery only. I remember 1 year we were using the wildlife estrus leaves, and deer came to them during like a 4 day period. And
what was it? What was the product?
It was the wildlife estrus leaf.
Oh really? I didn't even know that.
It's a little plastic scent, and so they came to that, man. But aside from that, I hadn't had enough luck with it.
Yeah.
So there I am playing around with it, and it's just wasting my time. I'm going over here. I just want to get right to the stand now.
Yeah. Yeah. You're putting out more scent.
Yeah. But guys that use lure and it works for them. So to answer your question, how do you use them together? Keep the lure 25 yards away from your stand.
Gotcha.
That's generally what I say, and then those guys seem to figure it out.
Yeah, I didn't know like how people did that. It's using urine and stuff. Like, it's something that I want to do to a point, because sometimes when you get frustrated, you wonder, like, man, if I had a lure
would
out,
that help?
Like, would this be helping me right now? What bucks, what percentage of chance could I perk the interest of a mature deer? Now, there's a lot of guys locally that, you know, do their own deer year in or use whatever year in company or work with another, whatever. And I feel like most of those guys aren't killing mature animals. They're killing 2-year-olds. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's like, well, yeah, I had a buck come into the urine. I'm like, yeah, man, but that's a young, immature.
He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's riding in October.
Like, our buddy Ross Bigger is a co-host on the show. He's not here at this show. But he, Ross is kind of, he killed one of his big 200-inch deer, I think, because of.
He's probably the most sank guy, or like piss guy that we have.
He's a piss guy.
He's the most piss guy.
Yeah, he's into pee things a little more than the rest of us.
Not for me.
Yeah, not for us.
No, for you, dog.
But yeah, I don't know. I was just curious about that. It's there's so many skeptics and strong opinions when it comes to any type of scent or scent elimination.
Right.
And I'm sure now jammers.
Yeah, well, no, it's a difficult situation because a guy can kill a buck with a certain product in his backpack, but the product had nothing to do with the hunt. And then he thinks, well, that's what I got that big buck with.
Yeah.
True. There's so much gray area. It's unreal.
Yeah. How would you for sure know? Yeah.
You would if he was standing in your wind.
Bro, with that would be a definitive way. Yeah. Definitely. Is there anything you're working on to bring to market, you know, and related to the jammer line, I guess?
Yeah.
That you can tell us.
Yeah. We introduced the Silent Series this year, and that is the first ever pump spray.
Mm-hmm.
So we've never had a pump, and it's a small 6-ounce pump spray. And then we have our nose jammer dust, which is wind protection and direction. They all have that nose jammer smell to them, which keeps game from detecting and tracking human odor. But they're quiet.
Mm-hmm.
That pump spray and the nose jammer dust, we made it so you could put it in your bino harness
or
in a pocket.
Oh, nice.
So it's designed for when game are close, that last hour of your hunt where you got deer in the food plot.
Right.
Get a little extra protection.
Yep.
Spot and stalk on that last section.
Yeah, yeah.
In an elk herd and a water hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can be near you and you can, and then there's a little cloud. So
I like that.
Yeah, Silent Series is new for us this year.
That's awesome. Before the Silent Series, because I know that'll be popular, especially I always wear a vinyl harness. I think we all do.
Yeah.
And so it's good to just have that right there on you.
Yeah.
What would be the most popular product, or if someone who's never tried nose jammer, what would you recommend that they try first?
Well, you got to start with the aerosol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we got a 6 and a 4 ounce. The 4 ounce is $9.99, very affordable. The 8 ounce is... No, it's 6 ounce, but the 8 ounce is $14.99. But yeah, you got to use that aerosol to become a believer,
mm-hmm.
and then you know, once they use that aerosol, they go, "Yeah, I get it. It worked really good. I'm absolutely going to try that deodorant and other stuff. The more of this stuff I get on my clothes, my body, and in my hunting area, the better it works."
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, that's a little bit about it.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think the idea is really cool, and I mean, it's just one of those things that got to pass with us. Like, because normally, I don't know, it's probably by default, I think.
Yeah.
When it comes to like scents and stuff, I'm just like, nah.
Everybody's very skeptic.
Yeah.
Big time. I think they're less skeptic of like hardline goods like bows and all the accessories.
For sure.
Much less skeptic.
For sure.
When you come in with something scent wise, they're like, well, you know, then they really get their guard up.
Oh yeah, for sure. Do you feel when guys become a believer, like a skeptic becomes a believer in the product, do you feel like then they're more like hardcore and dedicated to like the belief in it once you get them over to the
good to question believe in? Good question. I was just talking to somebody about this. He said, yeah, I got a lot of skeptics, da 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 da, and then they tried it, and I said, well, what happens with those skeptics is they'll say, yeah, bullshit to begin with, but when they use it, those are the guys that are telling everybody.
Yeah,
those are your biggest fans.
Yep.
The skeptic is your biggest fan once you turn them.
So you almost need them. So you're definitely not discouraged by the guys that are throwing shit your way.
We've already turned them.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be. But, yeah, we turned those guys.
Yeah.
You should have seen it when we first came up before it sold. They were telling us how it wouldn't work, which is the way it is.
Of course, right.
Everybody knows everything.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? Oh, I'm a fucking expert. I got a couple bucks.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of skeptics. But we overcame that, and then you got that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
For life, really.
Yeah,
the guy
curious.
Comes back the next year and he's like, this shit's awesome.
Yeah.
I was curious, like, how, I mean, because that's a little bit has to be a little discouraging at first, right? When you launch and you got everyone being so skeptic,
shitting on you. But yeah, and that was happening. And I remember an outdoor article that the one dude, he wrote an article. He'd never even used it, but he was telling us how it wouldn't work. This is a guy that's toting around 125-inch 10 points. Hey, right. Look what I got. I mean, great. But, I mean, you know, you don't know everything. You don't know everything. But when we came out and there was a lot of skeptics, as long as they're talking about it is the key.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If they're not
true.
Talking about it, you're shot in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they were talking about it.
You know? Hey, it's yeah. working out.
That's right. Yeah, so it was a learning lesson on that.
Yeah. No, very cool, man. I mm-hmm. love it. I think it's a cool, like, build-up story, too, you know, because mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to have strong opinions. Anything really hunting, everyone's got the things they believe in, things
everybody's
they don't.
An expert, man.
I was just going to say that.
Well, sure. I've used this analogy before, but I think it's with hunting, it's like the typical, like, guy telling a story at the bar, like, I'm the man, I did this and this. But I think it's different because you can't, like in basketball, if someone was talking themselves up in basketball, you'd be like, let's go play one-on-one, mm-hmm. and I'll just dunk on your ass and right. prove that you suck.
You don't see them hunting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
You can't do that with hunting.
Behind the scenes,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, then you find out, like, a hunting tactic that your buddy does, and you're like, oh, man, no wonder he can't hunt his way out of a paper bag.
Fishing's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I guess that's part of what makes it fun. And
yeah, it is.
Real results really prove it.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Well, hey, where can people find you guys, and if they want to get into some product, like social, anything else you want to plug, go ahead and do it.
I mean, we're in a lot of stores. We're in your bow shops. We're in box stores. You can get it online, and, you know, if there's skeptics out there, which there always will be, just mm-hmm. Google reviews.
I love it.
You know, that'll turn you around a little bit, but, you know, $9.99 is, you're not out too much.
Yeah,
to try it.
Yeah, it's
that's
not $1,000 for the bow.
It's $9.99 to see if it works.
Yeah. Right. I love it, man. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Oh, you got it. Thanks,
and,
guys.
And, yeah, keep doing it because we are using it. And then I think I'm going to – I got to at least give it more shots. Full can it.
Yeah.
Just let it rip.
Just full can it.
You can't overuse it, man.
We're going to get in the jamming business.
We're getting the jamming business. I love it. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
You guys want to add anything?
No.
No.
Thank you. Awesome product.
Yeah, of course.
All right, guys. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.